chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Verse 10. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Brad, will you do me a favor and give me some water? Rinse it out a little bit. There was a stink bug in it. That's a bad way to start, but it's a great, great message that we have in Isaiah 61. And the title of my message tonight is The Glorious Work of Our Great Savior. What a joy it ought to be to assemble with believers, partake of the Lord's Supper, to know, thank you, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that the work of our great Savior is effectual and so powerful that He has changed our hearts, our lives, our desires. And the verses that we read clearly reveal the magnificent mission and the absolute success of our great Savior. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." As I thought about that verse, very unique. No one else in all of Scripture can claim that the Spirit of God is upon them from the womb to the tomb and beyond. Our Lord was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing the womb of a virgin, fulfilling a prophecy of Scripture. The Spirit anointed Him and filled Him without measure throughout His life, so much so that He never sinned. He never did anything contrary to the Word of God, the law of God, the Spirit of God. He offered Himself by the eternal Spirit, Hebrews says. And He was raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit of God. Like none other, our Savior has been anointed beyond measure with the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. And He said that He came to preach good tidings unto the meek, glad news, good news, gospel news to those that are resigned and meekly under His dominion. He came, and wouldn't it have been wonderful during His earthly ministry to hear Him audibly speak words of truth and utter promises and proclaim the power of God in salvation? We can't hear Him audibly today, but we can hear Him through His Word. And He was anointed by the Spirit, and His preaching ministry of 3.5 years was unrivaled in power and in purity. Think about someone who preached and proclaimed good tidings without any sin, with the power of God upon them, with the ability to raise the dead, to feed the multitudes, to walk on water, to heal the lepers and open the eyes of the blind. He did all this while He preached for 3.5 years. Validating, vindicating, authenticating His work as our great Savior. It says that He was sent to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. His words of grace and His work of redemption both heal and liberate. It's an all-encompassing work. You and I were in bondage. We were in captivity to Satan. We were undone and in darkness, like in a dungeon of depravity. And Jesus Christ spoke light and life to us. He brought us out. He healed up our wounds as the Good Samaritan. He poured in His blood and the power of His Spirit. He healed us and He liberated us. We were once in bondage. Now we're set free to serve, to worship our great Savior. We were once under the dominion and bondage of Satan and darkness. We followed the God of this world. We followed His leadership, His direction, His temptation. But the power of the blood of Jesus Christ has opened up and given us liberty. We can go, we are accepted in the Beloved now. We can go directly to God. We're no longer being led about by Satan. Now we're led by the Lord and by His Spirit and His Word. That's true liberty. When you're no longer in captivity to the world and its ideals and its philosophies, no longer under the dominion of Satan, rather, we've been liberated to proclaim, He says in verse 2, the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. His first advent, He judged the sins of His people. How did He do that? He bore them on the cross. He condemned sin in the flesh. Our Lord, the very reason for the first advent, His first coming, was to suffer, to bleed, to die, to offer Himself, and then raise again, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord and securing our salvation. His second advent, this also points us to a day when this Lord is coming again to judge. And He's going to take vengeance on them that rejected Him and did not believe. How thankful we ought to be tonight that He died for our sins. That our sins were judged in Him. Because if your sins are not judged in Christ, if He did not bear them, when He comes again, He's going to judge you. God is going to take vengeance on you. Verse 3. to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. His work on the cross purchased the sacred gift of repentance and mourning over sin. I, for one, am so glad that I've been made to drink of the bitter dregs of repentance. That God opened my eyes and my heart and my mind and showed me what a sinner, condemned under the law, I was. And I'm so glad that He gave me a mournful spirit with a desire, a sorrowful spirit, that felt the guilt and the pain of my sins and my offenses toward a holy God. I am so thankful that He brought me to a place of mourning. Most people in our world have no conscience of sin. They go on brazenly in wickedness and ungodliness, and they never feel the guilt, never feel the weight of sin. But if you're saved, the Savior purchased with His death on the cross, with His precious blood, He purchased for you the gift of repentance to where you would be brought to a place where you would turn from your sin, have a change of mind about your relationship to God, and you would mourn and you'd be sorrowful over what you've done and what you are, and He gave you the grace to believe on Him. This is a great work. This work of repentance. Because when He presses those bitter dregs of repentance to our lips, repentance of sin, and causes us to drink that, there's an exchange that happens so gloriously, miraculously. The day that I was brought to repentance was also the day that my cup began to run over with joy. When there was a grand and a glorious exchange, my ashes of depravity and a fruitless life of sin, that ashes aren't worth nothing. Just burn up. That was exchanged for the beauty of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that day. This is the power and the work of our great Savior. The gift of repentance that morning so that we might exchange the ashes of our fruitless lives for beauty and righteousness. It says, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of the Lord, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. How amazing it is. How blessed it is to have real joy in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. To know that your sins have been dealt with and put away, that you've been forgiven, that you stand before a holy God with the righteousness of Christ, declaring to everyone that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you are complete in Him, that the law cannot condemn you any longer. You have been redeemed, justified, forgiven, and cleansed. That's the oil of joy. That's the garment of praise. And oh, how our hearts ought to be filled up with praise to our Lord for the great work that He has done. When was the last time you just were in the car, or you were by yourself, and you began to praise God from whom all blessings flow. You began to sing joyful praises to Him. You broke out in prayer, thanking Him for His great salvation. You see, He's given us the garments of praise, the oil of joy, and He calls us trees of righteousness, firmly planted and secure in Christ Jesus. We're glorified in the glory of our Redeemer. It says there in the last part of verse 3 that we're the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. If you've been redeemed and touched by the power of our great Savior, you understand it's His work. He's the one that's planted you. He's the one that's given you righteousness. And He's the one day, because of this great work, you're glorified. You're going to be glorified in His glory. You're going to be made like Him. The one who died for you, who gave His life for you, who rose again for you, who's interceding for you, who is providing for you, sustaining you, encouraging you. The one who puts you in this church, this Lord of righteousness and glory, is one day going to glorify you where every flaw, every sin is going to be completely and forever taken away. And your vile body is going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. All of this is in these verses. The glorious work of our great Savior. And it's as if the prophet in verse 10 is just overwhelmed as he thinks about the garments of salvation. He says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." Oh, how I hope tonight that's the attitude of your heart as you partake of the Lord's Supper. Be thankful that He's brought you to a place of mourning. Be thankful that He's given you saving faith and has exchanged your mourning for the oil of joy and put upon you the garments of praise, understanding that it's His work who has done all of these wondrous things in your life. And yes, there's a sorrow as we reflect on what our Savior did. He had to give His life. He had to suffer and He had to die. But there is great rejoicing in that work. Because by His suffering, He secured the salvation of all of His people. And we can greatly rejoice in that tonight. As we reflect upon our Lord in the wine and in the bread, we remember that He shed His blood, that He offered up His undefiled holy body, sanctified, prepared by God for that very moment in history where all of the wrath of God would be poured out upon the Savior who bore our sins. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. My innermost being, my life. I am determined as I reflect upon the glorious work of our great Savior to be joyful tonight. In my soul, I want to set aside all of the burdens, all the disappointments, all of the discouragements of this world. I want to set it all aside and focus entirely tonight upon my great Savior, the One who is worthy of my most fervent praise, adoration, and worship. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. I didn't clothe myself. I didn't make those garments on my own. They came from entirely outside of me. He had to put them on me. And He clothed me in His righteousness, in His holiness. And by way of imputation, He charged to me, to my account, the very righteousness of God, the only thing that allows me entrance before a holy God. I'll greatly rejoice. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Those garments are of eternal design. They're purchased with the precious blood of the Savior that we're remembering tonight. They're put on us by the power of the Holy Spirit. They are eternal in nature. He'll never take them away. His righteousness will never be abolished. His salvation is forever. We're going to wear these garments, these robes of righteousness, throughout all eternity. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Rejoice tonight with me. If you've been clothed with these garments that were purchased and wrought for you by the glorious work of our great Savior, let's remember Him tonight. Let's sanctify our minds and our thoughts and focus them upon our Lord. If you would, please move to the middle, those of you that are members.